D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined by our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, I want to start by asking you about something that we don't normally discuss when you're on with us every week. Hockey.
Cool. Yeah.
I want to discuss the four nations face off from your perspective. How would you describe your hockey fandom generally?
In person and watching it whenever I can get it, if it's not on YouTube TV.
Have you been enthralled by this tournament so
well,
far?
I love the whole rivalry aspect of it. You know, can it carry over? I mean, we're going to have the honorary booing prior to every anthem now moving forward. That's the only way to get the gloves to drop. Look, I mean, it's a huge win compared to the NBA over the weekend. I know that.
Absolutely.
So they should absolutely. I mean, it was not expected. I love what they've created because, I mean, it worked. But I don't know if you can do this every single night. Can you do this whenever it's, Minnesota taking on Tampa on a Thursday night? Probably not. But, I mean, if you can, we're tuning in. The eyeballs will be there, and that's exactly what they needed. Better than the dunk contest.
I want to ask you about the game on Thursday from a viewership standpoint. So the game on Saturday, which was aired on ABC, drew an average of 4.4 million viewers. It peaked at 5.2 million. And it was the biggest audience for a non-Stanley Cup final game, I want to say, since 2019. And I believe the game in 2019 had the Kentucky Derby as a lead-in for context.
Okay.
So I'm curious what you think the ratings will be like for Thursday when you consider the following. The word of mouth from the game on Saturday. A lot of casual fans loved the fights at the beginning. The fact that the Americans won the game. The game tomorrow is on ESPN, not ABC. The game is in Boston tomorrow, not Montreal. I'm wondering what you think a reasonable figure could be when you consider all of those elements.
I'm thinking less, but not by much, if it's not going to be on the network, because we're all talking about it. I mean, we were discussing it on Hot Mic. Chad's tuned in to see the game against the Swedes, as he says. So, I mean, yeah, people are talking about it that otherwise we wouldn't be. And we're tuned in to see the fights, right? Like that's the first. Here's the thing, Adam. The NHL rarely trends on social because of the small clips that, you know, the NBA is a very social media driven league, individual dunk, 3-point, whatever, where we're scrolling. And that's what hockey had this past weekend. They had the social media algorithm going because of what we saw with the back and forth and the rivalry that was created here. So can they carry that over? Absolutely. Because if it's going on social, people are going to tune in. And I think word of mouth, it's word of the scroll, really. And that's how I found out about it and tuned into it. Otherwise, I certainly wasn't watching the NBA. But I'm going to be tuned in to see the final game here. Yes, absolutely. Because I want to see if this is going to carry over and if we have a headline out of it. And by the way, go USA. I love it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you can't, and I know a lot of people are not, you know, into hockey like that. But if you know, this is a game, if you want to get into hockey, this is a game that you need to watch. Or this was a sort of tournament you needed to watch, was a four Nations tournament, because you saw really good hockey play at a fast clip, and you saw some of the best players in the National Hockey League play on a stage like this, where honestly they were the best show over the last week and a half of sports, I would say.
Mace, and it lived up to the four nations, right? Like that. Exactly. That's the thing, is there's a pride element that you can't create. Like it has to happen organically. And you know it, you know, that's what hockey can really lean into, right? Mm-hmm. You can't, the NBA is talking about doing something like, it's not going to be the same. It's just, it's not the same deal. Because that's going to be manufactured. It was real, you know, like, how dare you boo us? Here we go. Let's drop them. And it's carried over from what we saw, 2 weeks ago. So I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Now, can you capitalize on it? It's not taking over the NBA ratings, mm-hmm. you know, long term with the $76 billion TV deal they have over 11 years. I'm not going that far here. But yeah, lean into it and capitalize on the opportunity to individualize some of your stars. And again, the NBA, they can miss 12 dunks in a row, but Mac McClung's one that he makes is going to be on social media. This is the NHL's chance to do that. I think that really matters to reach a different audience.
Well, I think they got the memo because PK was on all throughout ESPN yesterday leading up to tomorrow's game.
They should.
Exactly. Let's switch it to the hardwood with the Vols.
All right.
If you just look at them, if you watch them play, this is a damn good team. Obviously, they are, if not the best defensive team in the country, they are a top two or three defensive team in the country. Even as good as they've shown themselves to be, do you really think they can make a legitimate run? Because, as good as they are, they're not the team from last year. You know, even though they have some of the same players, but you just – I don't feel the same effect that I felt for them last year in regards to heading into the tournament.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to be starting – you know, got to hit the threes, right?
Yeah.
Like the way they came back against Vandy.
Now, if Chaz is aggressive – and he plays that way from here on out, they got just as good a chance as Auburn. But you don't get that all the time.
And I think tournament time, though, normally you start to see, of course you see the tight scores, but lower scoring over-unders. Mm-hmm. Like you see the overall score drop a bit in the tournament. The defensive teams can really lock down. That should benefit them. You know, it's not going to benefit a team like Alabama, can't guard anybody. You know, like if you're going to run up the scores, they could score with you, but you're really living and dying by the three. At least you have other ways to face up and match up against the opponent, right? So, Tennessee could catch fire. I like the way that the team can come out and really stay aggressive. And I like the fact that they responded the way they did at halftime against Vandy, because Vandy was rolling there, you know? And it's something we haven't seen from the Vols is to get down by like 15 plus or whatever and come back and take advantage of a run that they had. They got after it, and I'd like to see, you know, that type of mentality. I think that's a defensive team that you're discussing compared to last year.
Hutt, what do you think of just the overall product of college basketball right now? It's exciting in the SEC. The atmospheres and the gyms, I think, are very good. I feel like we would all agree it went through a bit of a lull a few years ago. I think we're on the mend here. Despite all the craziness of who's on what team, all the
change. And Willie, we're not seeing UNC or Kansas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the other
Kansas
part of it.
Kansas got absolutely throttled mm-hmm. last night.
Worst loss of Bill Self's Kansas career, I want to say, last night.
They're struggling.
What was his quote? He said, "I just want everyone supposed to get away from each other right now."
I know the feeling. Sometimes that does need to happen. That's a good thing.
But the fact that – all right, let's take it a step further about the college basketball overview. If Cooper Flagg comes back, that is a huge deal for college hoops, because he's saying, like, I wouldn't come back for another year of college. I haven't decided yet. If he does, like, that's like a Caitlin Clark type moment.
That's music to my ears, Hutt. Music to my ears. I'm incredibly skeptical of that,
but
it's music
too,
to my ears.
I love hearing that, though. That's the thing that, you know, you could count on that in the past that we don't have now, right? So, like, I love hearing that from a guy that's going to be a tremendous benefit to the NBA, too, by the way.
Right.
But for college hoops, if he sticks around, like, even hinting at it was surprising. And I'm good for him. Stay in college, man. Enjoy it. But I mean, he's going to get a boatload of money that is probably going to take him to the draft. Point being, Willie, I'm with you on just the other part of it, too, is the SEC strength. And, you know, the fact that it is now at a level where the ACC can be down the way it is, and we're still discussing about the, you know, the personality of college hoops. Patino's got, you know, everything's really clicked with the moves that have made it in the coaching hires for some of these programs that otherwise we wouldn't be discussing. And that, where the SEC is winning, and of course Patino has just been, that was entertaining.
Patino in New York City.
Yes, I'm glad you brought up Rick Patino. Like it's good for the game to have him coaching a good team. I also think it's great for
New York's team.
Yes, for St. John's to be relevant. It's always important.
At the Garden.
Yep, I absolutely agree with that.
That's good.
When the last time St. John's was relevant? Was it Lopez?
Chris Mullen?
Was it Chris Mullen? You remember
it depends on what you consider.
What was his name?
They haven't been this
highly rated.
Felipe Lopez. When Patino was at Kentucky.
Yeah, they were kind of overrated back then. But, yeah, St. John's has not been good a long time. They even have the throwback uniforms when they had Mark Jackson and Chris Mullen and those guys, Walter Berry. But, yeah, that's a fun story going on. But you bring up something, Hutt, that I think is something to think about of where could it next go with – just how tough it is to dominate when you're 18 or 19 in the NBA, right? There's going to be your Shaq or Kobe that comes along every now and then that can do it. And Cooper Flagg is pretty special for sure.
Yeah.
But you can now make money, right? So you could actually make an argument, I think, of what's the next best step in my career? Making a lot of money and continuing to work on my game at the college level and having the spotlight. Mm-hmm. Of getting not just okay money, but really, really good money, like Caitlin Clark, right? The Caitlin Clark model. And then being that much more ready to step into the NBA and be relevant. Because you see a lot of lottery picks every year go to the NBA, and then 3 or 4 years later, you're like, so where is so-and-so? Remember he played that 1 year at Kansas or Kentucky? And oh, there he is. He's playing over in Oklahoma City or Sacramento. Like, there's a lot of them. But they've lost the spotlight. Right, I think a Cooper Flagg could say, give me another year at Duke, make a nice national title run, and then I'm that much more advanced to where my first year in the NBA, I can keep that spotlight on me a little bit more.
There's a level-headedness to what he's saying that I just don't expect anymore.
Yes.
You know, like,
he used to be a no-brainer. Like, what are you doing? Just go, you're a lottery pick. Go. You're gone. You're going to the NBA.
Yeah,
end of discussion.
Yeah, but like, okay, but also think about what he means to the NBA. Like, the dudes from France were the number one and number two pick. You know, like, we don't know these top
guys.
We don't
know them at all.
And if he stays another year and then hits the NBA, that's what the NBA needs too. They need someone like him that you can connect with. It's a huge benefit no matter what he does to either side of this. But for college hoops, that is the fabric of college sports that I miss so much, is just that being able to recognize what you're watching, you know, the style of play year in and year out. Now it changes, year to year, and certainly the stars change. And by the time they develop into a quote-unquote star, you're on to the next one. The best player that is going to be, you know, they're going to be begging him to go to the draft. Yeah, if he stays, that's awesome. That's
it's
awesome.
It's just about
for college
getting
sports.
To know these players. That's the best part about college sports for me.
Yeah, the story, the backstory.
You get to know teams because a lot of these players back before the one and done era, they would be on the team for all 4 years, and you sort of grew up with them,
of course.
Now it's sort of. It's like they're mercenaries almost, right? That they have to go to college for a year. You hope they go to your team. And, you know, sometimes they might stick around for another year. But as soon as you get to know them, they're transferring somewhere else. Like,
now,
I miss that.
The money – let me scroll. I've got the money comparison for him in the NBA. His NIL valuation right now is $4.8 million. His rookie NBA deal, if he goes number one in June – is $60 million over 4 years. So that's hard to pass up on.
It is. Yes.
That's hard to pass up on, no matter how bad he would stay in college.
$460 million.
Yeah. But he would go to a really bad team.
And
he would be really, really young.
$400 million max. You're closer to $400 million in the NBA.
He's 18. Cooper Flagg is 18 years old. 18 years old.
I know.
It's a... Like, he's an exception. There's other players that I think might be better off with the stay in another year of school, make decent money.
I agree. But hey,
he may
real
not
here,
be
though.
The example.
Mm-hmm. let's be real. With LeBron on the way out, you know, we have always, I mean, the discussion is like, who's next? Who's this? I mean, 18 years, this is the dude to watch. This is him. And he may stay in the college. I just think it's not a business-like quote that I heard. It was a real, like, I want to be in college. Like, I'm actually enjoying this. Good. I mean, in the development aspect, too. Like, freshman version of me versus senior version of me in college, vastly different.
But it's also, like, especially now with these big-time programs, other than classes, you're not really experiencing the college life, right? Because your team has a headquarters and you're probably spending a lot of time there and you're practicing there and you're having study hall there and you're on trips on for road games. So you don't really get the actual college experience.
You can if you want it, I think. Hopefully. This is, again, where we have to talk about what are these coaches,
the top guys,
are you allowing these guys to have the college experience? Or are you keeping them in that building way more than you really should? Also, remember, you have road trips to Cal and Stanford now sometimes in your league, which is ridiculous.
Yes,
now, which,
a quick cross-country flight in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
The college experience isn't like it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. For an athlete, I'm saying, especially if you are
kind of have to work to preserve
Cooper
it.
Flag.
You have to prioritize.
Because now you still got to
– basketball, for sure.
You got to walk around knowing that everybody is watching you. So you can't have that experience like a regular college student. The minute you stepped on campus and you were the guy or the girl, but in this situation, the guy, your college experience is totally different from anybody else's.
Well, and you're really only there for a semester.
Yes, it's just like, because your thing is, okay,
well, I'm done.
Even if I stay another year, I'm still not getting the college experience. Why? Because I'm either doing homework, in class, or on the court. Those three games. So I can't do all these other things.
Here's the thing. This was from Cooper Manning. It says Arch doesn't know how to work a microwave. Seriously.
Like, now that's a damn shame. That's a damn shame.
That's
right
one
there.
Button.
Yes.
But that, like, these guys, they have someone warming up their food for them. They're so great on campus. Like, that, they are in a different lane. They think that's normal. They don't.
Normal.
They don't know what it's like to be on the college experience part of it, because everything's laid out for them, especially, I think, in hoops, because you go straight to the league if you're on this level, Mace, like you're saying. And then, you know, everything is red carpet, and it's a different reality. You're in this bubble that I can't relate to, and they can't relate to us, because it's totally a different perspective. It can't work a microwave, which is just nuts.
Sometimes all you have to do is press one button.
Yeah, yes,
it's a one-button deal.
Yeah.
Hit
this
button.
They don't even make you punch in 100. Yeah. You just have to hit one.
All you got to do is not put tinfoil in
there. Yes. You just hit pizza or, you know, bake or something on there. Yeah. All right. Popcorn.
Hutt, real quick before you go.
Okay.
Let's take the rookies aside for a second. And let me just give you three guys, because we're going to continue to debate this. But where are you right now on Rodgers, Carr, Darnold, knowing that the price points are going to be different for all three?
Okay. I think this with Carr, it could be a spot where, not totally like this, but similar to like a Russell Wilson getting the money from Denver but playing for Pittsburgh. I think there's a scenario, if you trade this right, you could have New Orleans pick up some of the salary. That would be huge. Let's say that I would lean that way with Derek Carr, just the familiarity with the coach. I do like Darnold. I just don't like the money involved here for what I need to. I want to see more. I've seen what happened last year, but is that going to be the money we're talking about franchise tag wise? Like 40 million plus. Rodgers. I mean, I just don't think Rodgers is the right fit. It's not great for him here, and I don't think it's a great fit for the Titans, who, they've got they're discussing building something, and Rodgers is, you know, 1 year, a 2 year deal. That's really a one, whatever they want to call it. Like, you're not really building any. There's no cornerstone. There's no foundation that's helping there. It's just kind of a let's get through the season with this guy and see what happens. And I don't think that's something that I would want with Rodgers, with what we just saw in New York. I think it's better. He's better off with a, you know, honestly, like a roster like Minnesota than he would be in a spot here where you don't. You've got your own path. Rodgers is going to try to form his when he gets here. I just don't think it's a smart move.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on the program as he does.
What did you guys say, by the way? What order, consensus-wise? Carr?
Carr is, of those three.
Carr's number one.
Carr,
me.
Number one, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam, you're a Saints fan, right?
Yeah, I am.
He has a different viewpoint.
The Derek Carr experience is not one that I would consider exhilarating by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm leaning more towards bridge quarterback versus making a significant commitment to someone to be my franchise quarterback. And Derek Carr is a perfectly fine bridge quarterback if the Saints were to release him.
There we go.
Yep. He's going to be available. Normally he's available for your 15 games plus, which is massive.
Right. He also rarely misses games because of injury. I know he was injured at the end of this past season, but it was a fracture of his non-throwing hand, which I don't consider to be like a significant injury. So,
yeah. I mean, it's still a significant upgrade from what we've been, you know, witnessing. So,
yes.
He's a pro. He's, you know, he goes about things with some bad teams.
He's got history with Brian Callahan. Right. That you have to factor that in as well. So I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, Derek Carr. But I'd be like,
right.
That's fine. That's cool. That's kind of how the Derek Carr experience is.
I throw Stafford out there too. It may be a pipe dream, but we should start mentioning his name. If you could trade a second round pick for him and then trade back from one and pick up more picks. I mean, I don't hate that.
Hutton, great stuff, my friend. We'll talk next
week. Later, guys. Yeah, always enjoy this. Thank you.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, 615-737-1025. We're going to keep it on the Four Nations face-off coming up next. P.K. Subban had some really interesting comments yesterday about the Four Nations face-off versus the NBA All-Star Game. Derek wants to get into that. We'll do that next. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.